You've heard it said, but it's true. There are times when a wife isn't looking for her husband to solve her problems. She's looking for her husband to emotionally process life with her. Here's Ann Wilson.
Well, this one time, Dave came home, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, so frustrated. Dave comes home, he goes, "What's going on?" And so I start venting about my day. This happened, I feel terrible, I feel like I have no life, and I feel like I'm just, it just was going on. And Dave looks at me, goes, "I'll be right back." And he comes downstairs with this piece of paper, numbered 1 to 10. And I thought, he went up there and wrote me this sweet little encouraging note. And I read it out loud. Number one, get more organized.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff, huh? I mean, this is not an exaggeration. That's how clueless I was.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. When it comes to expressing love in marriage, sometimes as husbands, we just need to nod our heads and say, "That sounds really hard." We'll talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You really did that.
No, I did not, Bob. I don't remember anything about that.
No, wait.
Conversation.
He really did that.
He absolutely did that, Bob. Yes.
Well, wait till you hear what she did with my little, you know, piece of paper.
We are going to hear that today because we thought that with Valentine's Day here in view, we ought to revisit.
Don't do that. That's what you said. Don't do that on Valentine's Day.
We ought to bring you into romantic mistakes that the Wilsons have made.
And there have been many.
So, that could be a long conversation.
For Marianne and me, Valentine's Day is kind of like not a big deal. Like, I don't know that we get cards for each other. We don't. We typically are kind of like, I know.
Love.
I know.
Wait, what are you talking about over there? I get you a card.
You don't have to call me out on radio. People are listening to this. Come on, tell them how good I am.
Do you have a special date on Valentine's Day every year?
Yeah, we usually go out. Come on.
Yeah, we do. If
she's
we're
looking
not
at me like,
on the Love Like You Mean It cruise.
Well, and if you're on the cruise, then it's just a week-long date, which is, by the way, where we are right now. We're all on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise, so our Valentine's Day should be pretty special. So I guess I get points. Don't I get points?
No.
Oh, Bob, you're working. Come on. It doesn't count.
So we want to talk about romance and how you cultivate romance, and I think the title of this message that you gave on the cruise a couple of years ago was how to express love without touching.
Oh.
That was actually your title. And
yeah.
Dave and I were thinking, how do we communicate this?
I actually said, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
You have to touch. But we ended up figuring out a way to make Bob's title a talk that it helped us. I hope it helped others.
Well, let's listen. This is Dave and Ann Wilson talking about loving your spouse without touching.
It was year 8 or 9, so that meant we had 2 little ones.
Yep.
Right? So I remember walking in a moment in the kitchen, and you know, when you have 2 little ones, you don't have sex or touch. You don't do anything. You hardly see each other, right? You know, I remember Ann was standing in the kitchen. The kids were down or something. They weren't around. So I went over and just laid one on her. And I thought it was a really Valentine's-like romantic moment.
Even though it wasn't Valentine's Day.
It didn't matter.
Which... When he did that, if he would have done that in the early years, I would have been, this is awesome. But here's what I said.
Yeah, that's what she says. I don't remember
here's
that.
Here's what I said to him, like, I know what you want. And he goes, well, I hope so, basically.
No, I actually said, I don't want that right now. Just, you know, later.
And here's what I was thinking. I said to Dave, I said, I feel like the only time you touch me is when you do want that. And so I feel like you...
Wait. I just heard a bunch of women go, ooh. They're like hitting their husband right now.
I said, it feels like the romance, like for you just to kiss me or hug me or hold my hand, like that touching is all gone. And this is the only touching that's left. And it kind of took us into a fight.
Yeah, it was a really fun moment right there. But here's what I do remember about that moment, and it really frames where we want to go tonight, is she started to talk to me about non-sexual touch, guys, you write something down, write that word down. I literally don't know what it means, but no, I'm sort of kidding. But no, we had this discussion about affection and romance that was there in the early days of our marriage and had gone away primarily because of me. And as we talked to couples around the country for the last 30-some years, speaking for Family Life the last 28 years, we find a lot of people go through that, right? I mean, don't put your hands up right now, but, you know, there's not non-sexual touch in the relationship. So we discovered something you already know, and it's romance 101, really. It's like men and women are different. Do you notice that? We're just different. We're wired different, physically, emotionally. In fact, I read a statistic that said 8 out of 10 times you can tell men and women are different physically. So I'm not just talking physical, just seeing if you're listed. But I mean, if you even go back to the original scriptures, first book of Genesis, which means beginning, when you read how God created us, and I know I'm not reading something you probably haven't heard before, but in Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, says God made mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. And right there, you're like, oh, so where did these differences come from? Where? God. God literally made man and woman completely different. And again, we're joking about physically, but I mean, are we completely wired different? I mean, we're, and I'm not saying every woman's this way or every man's this way. There's definitely some crossover, but generally men are a certain way and women are too, right? Am I right? In fact, you've probably seen us illustrate this at the Weekend to Remember, but I brought a couple Barbie dolls. Now, we don't have Barbies in our house. We had boys, all right? So I had to go out and buy these, all right? And if you've ever seen a speaker at the Weekend, remember, you've seen us use these illustrations. But, you know, if you think about Barbie dolls, they're a perfect picture of the differences between men and women. Because first of all, you got Barbie and you got Ken, right? And I don't know anything about Barbie and Ken because I really don't. But I have noticed this. Barbie owns everything. Have you noticed that? Ken owns nothing. It's her car, it's her house, it's her pool. He's a freeloader. It's unbelievable, right? I don't know what's up with that, but it's true, right? But if you gave these two little dolls to little girls, what would they do? They would communicate. Oh, I like your swimsuit. I bought that for you. Oh, I like your, you know, that's what they do. They talk the whole time. Because you know there's studies done on the difference between men and women in communication. Have you ever heard a study decades ago said how many words do boys or men use in a day? Anybody know? Around 12,000 words a day. All right, how many words do girls or women use a day? 25,000 with gusts up to 30,000. So it's like crazy, right? So if you gave this to little girls, they'd be talking to her. Now let me ask you this. If you gave these two dolls to little boys, what would happen? Yeah, I mean, it'd be like, boom, 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 boom. Like, let's go get that thing. I mean, that's what would happen, right? And so you get married, and that's who you're married to, women. Let's communicate. What are you talking about? I mean, it's just like...
Our boys used to put firecrackers on their G.I. Joes to blow them up. It was just, it's so different.
I mean, and so here we are talking about, okay, how do you love your spouse without touching when we're that different? Mm-hmm. And so for sake of time, and we got so much to cover in such a short time, just we're going to cut to the chase. So here's the amazing thing. So you go into the New Testament, Ephesians 5. Well, I just want to take you to the end of Ephesians 5 because we don't have time to develop all the way through it. But if you look at the very beginning of Ephesians 5, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, be imitators of Christ. So we, if we're followers of Christ, are supposed to mimic or look like Christ. He then tells us in verse 18 how to do that. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how you do it because we can't do it apart from the Spirit of God. I'm going to get to that at the end. But then he goes in to say, okay, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is living in you and empowering you. This is what it looks like in marriage and relationships. Many of you know this. It's the classic text on New Testament or biblical or Christian marriage. There it is. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But then at the very end, and again, I'm just fast forward for sake of time. At the very end, I know many of you have heard this. Paul ends it this way. He says, so again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, it's interesting that Paul uses two different words when it comes to women and men, wives and husband. He says to what? Your wife. Love her. But he doesn't say love your husband. He says respect your husband. Why? I believe, I hope you believe, the Word of God is inspired by God. Every word was inspired by God. Paul wrote it in his own personality, but God literally inspired each word. So it wasn't just, you know, coincidence that he said, love your wife, respect your husband. It's based on those differences. The number one need of your wife, men, is what? Love. The number one need of your men, women, is respect, right? I know you almost said sex. Same thing, but it's respect, right? And it's interesting, if you've been around the church at all, you've heard this probably hundreds of times. When Ann and I speak at churches, we say that, they always know. When we are asked to speak in corporations, which we do often, it's amazing. They don't know any of this. They come up to us afterwards. Where did you get this? Unbelievable. The Bible. That's in the Bible. Yeah, because God created us with these built-in needs. So when Ann and I thought, okay, how do you love your spouse without touching? It's going to go along the lines of what's a woman need? Love. What's a man need? Respect. And what would that look like? So here's all we decided to do. Bob gave us a title, Without Touching. We thought, okay, let's take that word touch and make it an acrostic for women and for men. Five categories, because we're going to use the letters T-O-U-C-H for women, and then for men, we'll go back and forth, okay? So we're just going to go back and forth. So what's it look like for a woman? What does a woman really want? We've put this. The first letter for T is she wants communication. So we call it talk. And I put a bunch of A's in there because women don't want to talk. They want to talk about the relationship, right?
Well, and here's the thing. I think with women, we bond through communication. If you put two women in a room, we will know, if you give us a half hour, we will know so much about each other, won't we? We'll know the names of your kids, what you've been going through, how's your marriage. We know that stuff because we go deep in our discussions.
Yeah, and they also, I put it at the very bottom, they look at each other face to face. That's how women communicate. You know how men communicate? Shoulder to shoulder. We often don't even look at each other. We just sort of, hey, we don't need to say anything. You know, we go golfing, there's nothing said. How's their marriage? I don't know. We got a new driver, but how's their marriage? I don't know. Why would you talk about that when you're going shoulder to shoulder? And we had a great time. But women, man, they sit together. And so there's, we just wrote this, words matter. And these are sort of personal for our marriage. Tender words, positive words, harsh words destroy.
And I think that's one of the things for Dave and I that we've really struggled with. Because I felt like he would say something, but it would be in this harsh tone. And I would feel like, I would say to him, do you think I'm stupid? Why are you talking to me in this harsh tone? And you'd be like, I didn't even know I was doing that.
Oh, I would just be snappy and never realizing it is crushing her. And then when she told me it was crushing her, I would make her feel worse for telling me. Like, what do you mean that's not harsh? And she just like, exhibit A? You know, and I couldn't even see what I was doing to her. So guys, I would say this. I have learned, I'm not great, but I've learned, man, if I want to light up her world, if I want her to feel loved without touch, the T is communicate. And it means talk. We go out on a regular date night every week. We went to the weekend, remember, as an engaged couple 37 years ago. We heard Dennis and Barbara Rainey say, you need to date. We laughed like, who needs the date once they're married? You need to date. And when we go out on a date, we talk over a nice meal at a nice restaurant. None of that's what I want to do. I don't want to spend any money at a nice restaurant. I just want to go watch a movie, go home and make love. That's what I want to do. I'm not kidding, but I've realized it isn't about me. It's about what would make her feel loved. A nice meal, talking, you know, and it's like, it's just so important that like, even like when she's going through something, she wants to talk about it and I want to fix it.
Well, this one time Dave came downstairs, he came home and I was sitting at the kitchen table so frustrated. Our boys were little, they were young, had the worst day ever. Somebody had an ear infection, they're fighting, all that. Dave comes home, he goes, what's going on? And I said, it has been the worst day. Like, just sit down, let me just tell you about this. And so I start venting about my day. This happened, I feel terrible, and I feel like I have no life, and I feel like I'm just, it just was going on. And Dave looks at me and goes, oh my gosh, I'll be right back. So he goes upstairs, and I'm thinking, why is he leaving? And he comes downstairs with this piece of paper. And I thought, oh my gosh, he wrote me like a love note up there. Like, he went up there and wrote me this sweet little encouraging note. And I said, what's that? He goes, well, I went upstairs and I prayed. And I felt like God gave me something for you. And I'm like, oh, he hands it to me. And it has numbered 1 to 10. And I look at it and think, I'm thinking 10 ways to tell you I love you and how you're a great mom. Number one, and I read it out loud. Number one, get more organized.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff, huh? Pretty good. I'm up here leading you tonight, all right? Men, do not write this down. And this is a bad
and
moment.
And it got worse. It got worse. Every
much
one
worse.
Of those was all of that. I was like, it was like steam was coming out of my ears. And I said to him, you think you prayed about this?
I did pray about it. I did.
And I took the piece of paper. I was like, here's what I think of this paper. And I took it and I ripped it up and I threw it in his face. And I said, that was not from God.
And I said, that was from God. You just ripped up the word of God. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. That's exactly how it went down. That's how clueless I was. So ladies, if you're married to me then, there's hope, right? You're gonna make it, maybe. I mean, I had no idea what she really wanted. What does she really want? Every woman here knows. She wanted me just to listen.
Don't
be part of it with her.
Don't, like, just listen to me and nod your head, like, wow, you're amazing. Why? That's all I wanted. But Dave, it's so hard for me. It's like, oh, I could fix that. Oh, I could,
And now I've learned, she goes into that, starts, and I just sit at the table and go, oh, yeah, that must have been hard. And when it's all over, she's like, oh, thank you. That was so helpful. I'm like, I did absolutely nothing, right? But that's that talk, all right? So if we see you on the boat, and I see you go, talk, okay? We'll get it. So that's the first, the T for women. T for men. Mm. All right, I was going to say touch. I was. That's what I wanted to put. And it's like, we can't start with that. Okay, so the T is thank him. Mm-hmm. And this is true, isn't it? Men, I mean, I'm sort of representing you right now, but respect is appreciate who he is. Notice what he does. Affirm privately, affirm publicly. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, us men are like little boys. We long for somebody to respect us, somebody to notice us, somebody to affirm us. And let me tell you, ladies, you probably know this, but if you ever tear him down in public, you are crushing the soul of your man. You will probably never understand it. We are like 12-year-old boys, like, watch me, watch me, watch me, do the nay-nay. You know, it's like, we're saying that. It's like, watch me. And when our wife, you know, tears us down privately or especially publicly. But let me tell you, the opposite is true. When you affirm your man alone, behind closed doors, and also in public, thank him, appreciate, notice what we do, it's absolutely life-giving to a man.
I think what I realized was I was had these expectations, and instead of thanking Dave for the things that he did do, I was just complaining about the things that he didn't do.
Yep.
And for you, that was totally unmotivated.
Well, one night, we're sitting down, and we'd been talking about this in our relationship, and I've been trying to explain to her how much it means to me. We sat down, she was reading a book about it, and we sat down, the boys were all in the house at the time, and all she did is say, hey, before we eat, I want to say something to Dad. She turns to me, and she goes, thank you for all you do for this family. Thank you for working so hard to provide the money that provides this thing. Thank you for, you know, I mean, she just went through about four or five things. I mean, as she said it, I was thinking, the book's right there. She's just doing what the book told her to do. You know, I know that's what it is. But as she did it, my chest started pumping out. You know, I could feel it inside. I'm like, I am the man, all right. It was just like, unbelievable.
Our boys for you guys, that's totally motivating.
Oh, it was like, I will take down the world for you because you appreciate and notice what I'm doing. Mm. Am I right, guys? Yeah, so women, man, thank him. Out there in the pool, man, stand up. Have your man stand up and thank him in front of the whole boat, all right? All right, let's go to the O. We got to fly. So the T is for women. It was talk. But now for women, we'll go back to women. For guys, there's what they want us to open up. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? I just put down this. Level 5, share your heart, be vulnerable.
Yes.
So let's talk about a little bit.
For us as women, we long for you guys. We long to know what's going on inside. And I know for some of you guys are like, I don't even know what's going on inside, you know? But for us as women, we want to know you. We want to know your hopes, your dreams, your fears. We want to know what you're thinking about stuff.
I mean, level 5 communication, if you've ever been to the weekend, remember we use a chart there. Level 1 is like cliche. It doesn't mean anything. But you get down to level 5. Level 5 means I'm sharing my heart. I'm being vulnerable. And I have discovered that makes Anne feel loved. When I share with her my fears, my weaknesses, the things I'm struggling with, rather than hiding that. I don't share that with any other woman on the planet. That's wrong and inappropriate. I will share it with my best buddies, and I'll share it with Ann. And she's the only one that gets my heart. But I've learned over the years, man, when I go there with her, it makes her feel loved without touch. It's unbelievable. I remember years ago, I'm the Detroit Lions chaplain. Anybody know that? Any Detroit Lions fan? Okay, I didn't think so.
Yes.
There are. There's more here than in Detroit. I never hear that in Detroit. But one of the things we used to do, I've been doing this 32 years, like 20 years ago, long story short, we would take players into high schools during the offseason, five of us, and do an assembly and compete against their athletes and then talk about Jesus in a public high school. It was awesome. And so the guys would all wear these tank tops that said Pro Challenger. One day, one of our players didn't show up, so I had to compete with them like I was one of the guys, right? So you can imagine what an NFL player looks like in a tank top. All right, you don't need to imagine what I look like in a tank top, all right? So I'm standing in this school, and they're introducing us, right? And beside me is a guy named Chris Spielman. He was a guy at the time, he was a linebacker, big guy. We called him Mr. Meat, just ripped. I'm standing beside him in my little tank top. And there's a teacher on the wall, like 10 feet down, and I hear this teacher look down and go, "Hey, who's that little guy down there?" And Chris hears it, goes, "Hey, dude, you hear that?" I go, "Nope." And then I hear, and I can see it over here, I can hear the other teacher sort of look like that and goes, "Oh, he must be a kicker or something." And Chris starts laughing. Nothing against kickers. If any of you are kickers, I love you. You're awesome. But I was a quarterback, and I was an all Hall of Fame quarterback. So that was like a kicker, right? So anyway, the day goes on. I come home that night, and my ego had been sort of hit, you know. So Ann and I get the boys down to bed. We're sitting in the family room, and Ann says to me,
"Well, he's real quiet."
Yeah.
"And he just seems different." And I said, "Hey, so what happened today? It seems like something happened. Are you okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm fine. It was good."
Yeah, I was level one.
Mm-hmm.
Not going there.
And I kept pushing, like, "I know something happened. Like, what happened? Come on, share it with me."
So finally she says, "Okay, I won't ask anymore, but you seem like something happened today." And I go, "Well, we were at this high school, and this guy said," you know, and I had no humor. It was just like, "I'm a kicker now." You know, sort of like that. And she is so wise. She knew that my little male ego had been hit. And I'll never forget this night till I die. She says, "Dave Wilson, turn off the TV." So I hit the mute button, and then I turn. I'm kidding. Do not say, "Oh, it's okay to hit the mute." No, the TV went off, right? So I turned, and she like looked me. It's like this. She put her hands on my knees, and she's like 18 inches away, and she looks right in my eyes. And she doesn't even remember it. I can tell you exactly what she said. "I got to tell you something. You have a great body." That's what she said. So what you're learning here, sometimes it's okay to lie in your marriage. So, but she said that, she sort of had a little smile, you know, on her face. But then she said this, she goes, "I want you to know something. You are a good man. You are a man of God. You lead me and you lead the boys spiritually. And don't you ever forget what a real man is. That's what a man is. It is not about pecs or a chest. It's about walking with Jesus and leading us. And you are that man." Thank you for being that man.
Right.
So, I mean, why do I remember that? Because it was a moment of respect in my marriage that I'll never forget. And here's what I thought. Before I opened up and, you know, went to level five with her, I thought, well, you know, when I finally did, it's like I'm giving her a gift, right? I know she likes this. Here we go. And who got the gift? It came back. So she feels loved. I feel respected. And I'm just telling you, guys, it's worth the risk and fear to go there.
Well, we've been listening to the first part of a message from Dave and Ann Wilson about loving one another without touching, really getting to the heart of what romance and love is all about in a marriage. And I think what you said at the end about the fear and risk for a guy to open up and be vulnerable and say, "This is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling," that's real for so many men.
Yeah, and it is scary. I mean, we sort of often grow up in a culture that says big boys don't cry and we're tough and man up. There's a phrase for you.
Yeah.
And so to be vulnerable, especially with your wife, is for a lot of guys, they will not go there. Mm-hmm. And I mean it for every man and for me. When you go there, not only do you find life coming back to your soul, I never knew this. Your wife feels loved, which is a beautiful gift to your wife.
Oh, that evening was such a great gift to me. And it makes me want to go to level five with you. Like, I really mean it. We as women long for that. I think we often do it in our relationships, and it may come easier for us. But for us to know our husbands, to know what they're feeling, to know what they're afraid of, that really does mean a lot.
See, here's the thing. I think for a lot of guys, I've felt this before. If I am open and make myself vulnerable, the risk is you're going to take that and you're going to know how to hurt me.
Yeah.
You're going to know how to wound me. So I'm going to not give you a tool that you can use against me. Why is it so powerful for a woman when she knows that her man has weaknesses? I mean, we think the opposite. You're gonna respect us more if all you can see is our strengths. Why is it powerful for a wife if she knows her husband is weak in areas?
I think it shows a need, and a need for us as women to be partners. And we want to partner alongside. And so for you to be vulnerable says, I don't have it all together. And for me, it said to me, I need you, Anne. Hmm. And I really want to be needed, but I also think it's a real gift that we give one another in a marriage where we need to be very, very careful and prayerful before we respond. Hmm. Because when we come in and we're harsh or we laugh or we'll use it against one another, I don't think that gift will be given as often.
You guys talk about this more in your book, Vertical Marriage, and this is a book that we would love for every one of our listeners to have a copy of. In fact, this week, if listeners will help support the Ministry of Family Life with a donation of any amount, we'd like to send you a copy of Dave and Ann Wilson's book, Vertical Marriage, as a thank you gift for your support of this ministry. And if you already have a copy and you want to get another copy to pass on to a friend, all you have to do is make a donation online at familylifetoday.com and request the book. We're happy to send it out to you. We're so grateful for listeners who engage with us and say, this program matters. It's important. It's making a difference in my life and in my marriage. And it's making enough of a difference that we want to help support you. So your donations really do matter. They make a difference. They determine how many people we're able to reach with the Ministry of Family Life today. In a very real sense, the donations you make to this ministry are donations to your fellow listeners so that they can hear biblical truth about marriage more often. So thank you for your support. And again, as a way of saying thank you, this week we'd like to send you a copy of the book Vertical Marriage. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to donate at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And again, thanks in advance for your support of the ministry. We appreciate you, and we look forward to hearing from you. By the way, the Vertical Marriage book is now available as a small group video series as well. And I know a lot of people have already heard about this. They're starting to use it. It's a great tool, 5 sessions. The videos are about 25 minutes long. So this works for a Sunday school class or for a small group or just for you and your spouse to go through together. Again, find out more about the Vertical Marriage small group series when you go to our website at familylifetoday.com. Now, tomorrow we're going to hear part 2 of Dave and Ann Wilson's message about how we express love to one another without touching. And it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, so we ought to be thinking about love and marriage and how we can express love to one another. Hope you can tune in. And I mentioned it's Valentine's Day. For those of you who hadn't thought about that yet, you can stop by the store on your way home tonight or start making plans for what you're going to do to celebrate. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.